subjects that I like are like politics, philosophy, discovery, technology, and everything like that. So sometimes when it's like music or, you know, some of the sexual topics, I kind of tend to stay away from. But if you get me going on a topic that I can expound upon, and it's political, it's philosophical, it's technological, then it's like you're diving into a well of, you know, enlightenment and intelligence and stuff like that. But if you want to talk about expensive cars or, you know, like sexual, some of the more sexual things, stuff like that, I kind of tend to say like, okay, not really that interested. I think I'm going to go somewhere else.
You know, you say more politics. When I hear politics, I hear like trigger. So I don't know. God bless you. But I think Michael wanted to say something. Hey, Michael.
Hi, Carla. So great to have you as a host today. Hi, Bryce. Glad you and I are the co-hosts. Ariel, you said that you were diagnosed in high school with Asperger's. Generally means the individual who's diagnosed with it lacks a lot of communication skills, and that doesn't, in my opinion, and I'm not a doctor, and I can't light a match to them, but you certainly have communication skills, so I don't get it. But I do know that Asperger's syndrome is also a thing where when you're young, and I don't know if this is true in your case, you'll have to tell us whether it is or isn't, if you're comfortable speaking about it. It allows you to speak and research a few topics most people with Asperger's have. They study a few topics and they become experts in that particular topic. With Asperger's too, it's very difficult when you're a child to make friends and socialize. The skills are different. And that could be, they haven't found anything really chemical yet in the brain, but I think that if you do a Google search on it, for those that may be interested, even you yourself, Ariel, you might see some things in there that might trigger some stuff like me or whatever. So if you did that, don't get upset or angry by it. I think you're highly intelligent, and full disclosure, Ariel and I are very good friends. I consider Ariel like my younger brother. Or I'm the older father, either way. But I'm very protective of him. But when he mentioned that, it just struck a chord in me because I know a few people with the same thing, and they seem to struggle a lot more than the way I see my buddy or my friend Ariel doing. Ariel, I just want to know I'm extremely proud of you. I think you're highly intelligent. I think your communication skills are great. So I don't understand the first part of the diagnosis that most doctors will look to, but I'm not a doctor, so I yield it back over to you for the answer.
Yes.
When you were young.
So basically what happened when I was young, like I said, I felt as if, you know, like when you're young and you're in like school and all the kids go to the playground, I always thought like the playground was boring and other kids were kind of like boring too. And the only thing for me that wasn't boring was coming home and kind of playing my video games. And that's where I felt like the most in my elements. And so I wasn't always like this. I always wanted to like come home, put on like something. And when I would play these games, I wouldn't just play, you know, the ones that are just like, like platformer. I would play games that had you like collecting things and finding secrets and understanding where all the different kind of doors were and where to find the keys and the collectibles and all of that stuff. And I would just have such a good time. And also when I was younger, I was a very, very like curious person. I was like, then what does that do? And what does this do? Like, if I push this, what would happen? I have a very, very inquisitive kind of mind. But it did take a lot of, like my mother took me to a lot of like different therapies and different, you know, groups to deal with, you know, the way that I would only have these limited interests and I wouldn't really like sometimes you got to learn to just talk about something that you're just not interested in as like a life skill So I'd say that maybe some of those therapies and some of these groups have actually worked in making me a more wholesome, kind of interesting person, and it doesn't really work for everybody. So maybe that's what it is, but I may have moments where I don't read a certain social cue, or when I have a specific way that I'm feeling, like maybe I didn't filter it out in the most appropriate way that I could. And that used to happen a lot more when I was younger, but it's kind of like building a muscle. You just build your mental muscle of like opening up to people and having better social skills and mental skills and all of these things, etc.
So let me ask you, Ariel, if I may, Tanya, let me ask you, Ariel, did you find, or do you still find, whether you were young or even currently, do you still find yourself, one thing with Asperger's, they usually prescribe medication, and if they have done that with you, I hope that you're still taking it. If they haven't given you anything, well, that's okay too, I guess. I'm not a doctor. But it's important to stay on it if you're even on that. Lastly, though, with the Asperger's, whether you're in spaces like you're in currently now, if you are the host versus Tanya being the actual host, it may be difficult if somebody's bringing up, or if you go into somebody else's space and they're bringing up a topic other than what really holds your attention, and this is true pretty much for anybody with Asperger's disease or syndrome, they tend not to want to talk, they shy away, sometimes they just leave. My suggestion to you, if it happens to you, is try to tolerate the different topic, even though it doesn't interest you, because obviously if you're friends with the individual that's bringing the topic up, whoever he or she may be, realize it's important to that individual and try to see where they're coming from and hear the key points of the conversation, of the subject, and see if maybe your mind can get around it and maybe even share some insights. Just a suggestion. I'm going to yield it to Ariel and to Tanya. Thank you for letting me ask my questions and my comments.
Was I prescribed any medications? No, not really. Rather than, there were moments in my life where I was depressed, and I was on antidepressants for maybe a month or two tops, and that was it. I really think, though, that, you know, I personally don't believe in these, I don't believe that. The thing that helps people the most, I think, is a change in their environment, is the change in people's attitudes towards them, or finding something that you love and hooking up some way to like make a living off of that. I think the best medication for me, if I'm being honest, is being around decent human beings in a decent environment with decent things to do. Like that is the ultimate in medication, personally.
I don't recall being anyone talking about that. I mean, the word Asperger, to be honest with you, I never even learned about that until like about 14, 15 years ago. But like I said, there's never been a conversation. So I'm just, you know, and it's good that your parents didn't like put you on medication or anything. I think it's a great thing.
Right. Well, what happened with me is that, yes, while growing up, I didn't really enjoy sports, and sometimes I wanted to keep like my video games to myself. So my parents were like, you know, I wasn't, you know, chasing for a girlfriend or, having like three or four close friendships. It was just one or two. So it was like, oh, well, you know, like maybe there's something about like the thing where like I just had one really close friend where we just like go in a corner in the playground and we just bounce jokes off of each other for no reason. It was really fun. And while all the other kids were into like who's popular, who's wearing this, or who's buying that, or who has this, or who has that, like that, it, like, we didn't care, you know, like, yes, we hear you, but you have to wait.
Yeah, you gotta wait, we're still,
You see, we didn't care. And then there's also like, you know, and as far as popularity and fame and all that stuff, and so at pop culture, a lot of people were talking about pop culture when I was growing up, and everybody was like talking. You know, I grew up in LA, like the epicenter of celebrity culture and Hollywood and all this stuff, but I didn't really care for any of it, if I'm being honest. And the only thing I really did care for is that one day, maybe I did want to become like an actor or a comedian, but I was always wondering why all these people who are rich and famous and have so much money were always complaining about things going bad or their lives, you know, getting worse and all of this and all of that. And I said, if I ever do make it up there, I'm going to be mindfully famous, and I'm going to watch out for the behaviors and patterns of behavior that get people in trouble and get them to kind of like go in a downhill, downward spiral in their life. Because I never understood why a person who has, you know, millions of dollars and so many fans would behave in ways like they're drinking and smoking and, I don't know, doing all sorts of crazy things. So I just told myself, I'm going to act and do comedy and be a host for the love of it. And I'm going to make sure that the negativity doesn't seep in into my life if I ever get to do the things that I love for money.
If you're blessed enough to do what you love from and make money off of it, isn't that the ultimate goal in life?
For sure it is. And also the thing that I wanted to say is that why do some people have so much trouble not wanting to pay it forward? I mean, when people pay attention to you and your accomplishments and your body of work, either as an actor or a comedian or any person in the public eye, why are we hoarding eyeballs and ear holes where there's enough eyeballs and ear holes in the world for everyone? Like, that's the part that disappoints me. So let's just say hypothetically, I did make it, right? I did get somewhere where people, like, I was adorned and I had the fans and I was doing concerts or I was doing comedy shows. I'm going to see, like, who's a person with a thought or an idea that I've never even understood or heard of before? And how can I make that path just a little bit easier for that person? Because I knew, like, how difficult it was for me. But unfortunately, I see the opposite. I see some people who have gotten there, whatever we want to call there, and they tell themselves, you know, my material is getting old and stale. How do I put more roadblocks in the way for people who are up and coming? And I just think that is such a rotten attitude to have, personally.
I love your point of view. So we're opened up the microphone. So if anyone would like to ask questions, please go ahead. I think, Andrew, you're next. Do you want to say something?
Hello there. I'm hello there, America. This is Hello from the UK. Thank you for bringing me on the guest. I appreciate it.
How are you?
I just joined, catch up, get everyone, both conversations about, just about social media and radio, really. That's all about social media, really. Became, I mean, myself being a content creator, and you really to collaborate, because that's the only way to get better is for collaboration. Don't destroy people, don't help people. And people wanting to allow people to self-promote. No, don't do that. Why not? I want everybody to know who I am, to sell myself, isn't it? It's all about me.
Are you using social audio at all? Are you using anything to get content for your clients?
No, I don't. Like I said, it's a new game, the ball game for me. It's like podcast. No, it's not as big in the UK as it is in America. And I did enjoy my old spell doing it, but it's so hard to get people to listen to your podcast, because that's all I want to be interested in, is listening to my own. But I'm looking to collaborate, mix with the same sort of people, and that's in the same game as me. Let me tell the truth, this is what happened. I've outgrown in the UK, right? The UK full of scumbags. Stupid, jealous, give me that,
bastard. You know, Andrew, like this, this Twitter space is on a time schedule. I have 25 minutes, and I really need to focus on Ariel. But he'll open up his own, and you can come share with him.
Yeah, so he said, if you're able to call me, I'll call you back. And I appreciate coming on. I'm a speaker as well, and I'm a storyteller. And I don't like time little bits to try and squeeze as much information in you as little time as possible. But thank you for being on. I do appreciate it. And I don't want to go to stay.
Yeah, follow me. I'll follow you back.
Yeah, follow. Yeah,
we'll get to know each other.
No problem. Nice to meet you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Yes.
So, I want to see, anyone else want to grab the mic? Let me know. Rahel, I gave you the mic. Okay, so, there we go. Is he speaking?
Rahel? Oh.
Yeah.
It seems like his mic is still muted.
Yeah.
Did anybody have a question? Feel free to come up and take a mic. Anything
you'd like to know? Aaron, how you doing? And I'm not going to bring it up as far as letting people know. Those that know, those that don't, we'll keep it that way. But what transpired yesterday or the day before from the other thing, how you doing? You okay?
I'm fine. I like the latest news on that is someone who's higher up in there. I share screened the email that I sent. And she said you wrote such a great, perfectly worded email to get back. So that's that news on that front. But the thing is that I just want everybody listening to this to remember, and I was talking about this with Tanya earlier, that the talents and the intelligence and the creation is inside of you, your mind, your, you know, power, your all that. Apps and social media, they're just tools to disseminate. They're just tools to let people know, to let people understand. So if you create a central hub of your work in the form of a website, in the form of something that people can go through, and if you have your local...
I feel like I've known you for a long time, so... Bryce is the guy that keeps us, like, balanced. Right, Bryce?
Yeah, he's the strong silent type.
No, but I've been waiting to speak. I just didn't want to dominate because, I tend to talk too much sometimes. But, I've been on Spaces for, since about 2.5 months. And so I'm just an avid user. I'm not a guy with a brand. I'm not here selling anything. I just like to be what I heard at a seminar, business seminar years ago, called a force multiplier, somebody who will come in and add some value to rooms, maybe learn something, things like that. So that's kind of my thing right now. And so when I was first like poking around on Spaces, I didn't really know anybody. And I stumbled into Ariel's room and I just, just took to it right away. The cool thing about Ariel's rooms are it's just, he's a very, if you know him and you've been in his rooms, he's a very likable guy. He's a good communicator. He has topics. Most of the time he has topics that I think are socially relevant. And so I was always looking, I like all types of conversations in these spaces. If anybody's been in any mind that I host, it's total BS. I don't host any serious spaces. I look for it elsewhere. But the cool thing about Ariel's is that he always talks about relevant topics, socially relevant topics, and things that mean things to people on a day-to-day basis, just like your relationships and communication, conversation, things people can relate to. And it's truly a safe space. That's the one thing I would point out about, if you don't know Ariel's rooms, come back and visit him. Because it's like a piece of clay. It's very moldable. Although he has topics, things shift around in his rooms. And the people who tend to frequent his rooms are very decent to each other. There's a lot of people with different political feelings and values, virtues, things like that I've discovered. But there's a wide berth there. And I think that's not really a function of luck. I think that's a function of people respect him. And he's just, like I said, it's a safe space. It's a friendly place. I see a few faces in this room that I see often that I would consider that same force multiplier type of person. I think the value of social audio is to learn, right? To learn, to share, and to make relationships. And Ariel's place is always one. Whenever I see his thing up, I'm always going to drop in because I think I've gotten the most value pound for pound out of his spaces. I don't know how you quantify that exactly, but it's just like I've poked around in a lot of places, and it's just I'm going to get value in his space. So again, I just say anybody who hasn't been listening to him, you know, make sure to tune in and go with it, because he provides a lot of value, and that's pretty much. I can go on and on, but we're kind of friends on the side a little bit. We do talk. He's got a lot of talent, and yeah. Just check them out.
I just want to say thank you, because that just goes to show you, me, Bryce, and Michael have our differences when it comes to some politics. And some things have even gotten a little bit heated and contentious, but there's always a mutual understanding and respect that I think that if the world had the kind of mutual understanding and respect of the four people I see up here with me, Tanya, Bryce, you know, me and Michael, we'd be living in a better one, because there would be no reason to bark at each other and try to bite each other's faces.
I want to go ahead and give the mic to Celine.
Hi everyone, and thanks for letting me speak. Just Ariel, you know what, your spaces are so awesome. I am very new to hosting, and I'm learning from your spaces and Tanya's spaces. And my question to you is, what is your biggest challenge in moderating in these spaces?
Oh, wow. Good question. You know, using the light hand and the heavy hand, because I you know, it's a blessing and a curse, is that, you know, being young, and when I wanted to get my name out there and my ideas out there, I remember being that person, and I'm going to put the "that" in air quotes, that person, the one who always wanted to speak my mind, didn't really like read the room, and didn't really understand when it was appropriate to speak and when to not speak. And like I said, I had Asperger's. So I remember when I had an idea, or I said, like, oh, I have a world-changing idea right now. I'm going to go on to Reddit, and I'm going to put my YouTube video that talks about the idea. And then the Reddit moderators were like, oh, that's not appropriate, that's self-promotion, and that's this, and that's that. And then I'm like, God damn it, how the hell is anybody supposed to make it in the world when some of these fascists, like, don't even let us speak and don't even let us talk? So I got very, very frustrated that people were telling me to put my ideas out there and to put myself out there. And then when I did exactly what they said, they're like, go back, you're out of turn and you're not doing it right and this. I'm like, this is a catch-22. So what I do in my spaces to moderate, I say, look, these are the ground rules and everybody gets a chance, but don't mess your chances up. Because, you know, other people want to turn too, and it's not, you know, how it's not good when people are hogging the mic and going out of bounds. So I may give a person like two or three warnings, maybe sometimes even kind of five, or I put them in like a cool down period where I make them listen. And then when I bring them back up, I ask them, do you know why I put you down there? Do you know why I had to remove you or didn't let you speak? And if they want to be combative with me, that you know, we're on Twitter, you have every other space to go to, but I don't accept combative behavior, because at the end of the day, this is my space and I can do what I want, even if you think it's unreasonable. But because I remember what it felt like to be that person who was shunned and dismissed and not given a damn about, I try to say to myself, I just don't want to make anybody else feel that way. But if they're lying, taking advantage, BSing, or they keep the same transgression over and over again, it's adios. And I had one friend who I thought that they needed help. So I said, I'm going to open something up for you where you can kind of get your thoughts out about why things are bad and why things need to change.
and they took so much advantage of that and not even caring about my rules that I just have to say, enough is enough. We can't do this anymore. I'm disappointed because I thought that this was a person that I could help, that I could, you know, get people to understand their plight, but it just seemed like this person was borderline narcissistic and not taking the time to respect who I am and taking advantage of a relationship we had before Twitter Spaces.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, Ariel, hey, I had a question for you. For people who are new to your space, what would you say, what do you think your brand is or your mission statement when you bring people into your rooms? Most of your rooms are more, like I said, serious or socially relevant. We have some fun rooms and some free-form things that go on, but kind of what do you think your vision is? Like, what is your sweet spot in the things you like to talk about, and what do you try to provide for those who converse in your space?
Changing the world one conversation at a time. And what is my grand plan? I want the best minds in science, philosophy, electronics, any of these politics, science, philosophy, technology to come together in my space as a host, and I want to be moderating these people to better facilitate how all these subjects connect with each other and what these subjects can do for each other and do for humanity as a whole, if I would have to say what my grand vision is.
That's something I think I bond with you too, is I like to think of myself as more of a pragmatic person. I have my politics, but I try not to let it bleed in too much to the things that I talk about. But this is one thing I like about Ariel too, and I think he's going to agree, is that he's a solutions guy. You know, put down your party politics, put down your personal feelings, even your personal stories sometimes, and it's just like he's looking for solutions. And I first found him as part of the Yang Gang, and I was not a Yang guy, and we have a good story talking about UBI as something that he pushed for a long time. We won't get into depth about that for the people who don't know about it. But he has not changed my mind about it necessarily, but he's made me think differently about it. And I think that's something that's good for Ariel's rooms too, that he does really well at, is that he allows people to interact with each other and share ideas. And I think the best we can ever get from these rooms is trying to look at our own beliefs and things that we hold true to us, and maybe see it from a little different perspective. And he creates a safe place for that. And yeah, just wanted to point that out.
That's such an exponential pace. And unfortunately, our politics are not keeping up with the technology. So I'm going to try to see, it's like, what is our new place in this world of Venmo and PayPal and cryptocurrency and the Elon Musks and the Jeff Bezos of the world? And there's so many people out there in the world who are just confused. They're not angry. They're not bad people, they're not, you know, causing any harm, but the confusion brings them a lot of like pain and damage because they don't understand how to move in this new technological world. And I think a lot of that confusion unfortunately, that confusion turns into anger, and that anger turns into hate. And then people vote for, you know, a right-wing populist instead of trying to understand the kind of new world that they live in. And then when they vote for that right-wing populist, people start calling them names and get angry at them. And then people on both sides of the political aisle start thumping their chests at each other, barking at each other, instead of looking at the root causes of what's causing all this confusion and anger and frustration in the world. And when we divert our eyes away from the root causes and start putting our eyes on partisan media and barking at each other, it just leads to our world becoming a crappier place, if I'm being honest. So I'm just out here. You ever seen the guy who, like, you see those schoolyard fights and he jumps in into the middle of the fight and he's like, okay, break it up, enough of this BS. Okay, let me take care of this. That's basically me if that person was a philosopher and, you know, a really awesome, you know, person.
It's known as projection politics. They project when they know they're up to something.
See, so then we'll go back to Michael and then Sujata. Yeah.
Thank you, Ariel. I just want to make a couple of comments. A fair warning, as you say, for those who are new to the room and want to still come to Ariel's spectacular rooms, because he is a fantastic host. He does things, he does keep things in under control. But I will tell you, when it comes to politics, if you want to hear sharp disagreement but done with respect, it's a great place to be. For example, I've gone against Ariel, and I've gone against the best of the best, and that would be Bryce, BBQ. We've agreed to disagree. But you know what? Sometimes Ariel and Bryce will agree with me, and sometimes I'll agree with them, because we're all open to learning. It's learning how to come in from a different perspective. It's learning how to communicate, learning how to make your point across, and you don't have to fear that you're going to be rushed off the stage when you're making a point, so long as there's not 100,000 people following, and you know, you got to be fair. The host is always fair to try to get people in, and Ariel is very fair. He tries to sometimes bring in people he doesn't know, and sometimes a troll will pop up, and they'll get removed right away. There are some idiots out there that are trolls, and they'll say comments that are nasty and unnecessary, and they don't even know him, and they make stuff up. But I know that everybody in the room here today are adults. And if you didn't know this, if this is your first time joining a space, thank you for coming in. And Ariel, keep up the fantastic job. I met Ariel through Spaces, and I'll tell you what, we just clicked. He knows that I'm an old man, and as he says, for an old man, I'm not that bad. So he lets me in his room. Isn't that nice? All right, man, I'm done.
Hey, Sujata again.
Yes, I wanted to know, like, what kind of challenges are you facing on while you're doing this kind of movement?
I'm going across my screen, so the next person is Sujata. Hey, Sujata, how are you?
Thanks, Tonya, for this opportunity. I'm fine. In a philosophical point of view, I'm curious to know, like, what are expectations are you on this kind of your movements? Are you looking maybe to change the world to be a better place, looking to change people's mindsets, or looking to create like a next generation of youth, maybe kind of people which can have the turnaround to create the new world with new rules, the world.
If you have a question, okay. But I think
Stefan. Go ahead. Brent has it too.
Oh, go ahead, Tanya.
No, I want to call on Brent, but I was just like looking at. I'm trying to get the Apicar right here. Trying to. Okay, go ahead, Brent. Did you want to share?
Hi, Tanya.
Hi.
I've been nestling in, I've been listening in on the way to meet my friend in Calumet, but the conversation was good, and I thought I would come and support Ariel.
Thank you.
Thank you. Means a lot. For anybody who doesn't know, Brent is a very friendly disability advocate. It makes people aware. Okay, Bryce, go ahead. See your hand.
I know you're running low on time. Just real quick, So are you going to continue to, I guess, build your brand out here? Is Spaces going to be your home for a while? And then, like, what can we look forward to here in the near term for you?
Well, what I'm trying to do is, like, build an empire off of, you know, the kind of reputation that I have on Spaces. So with Tanya as my friend and by my side, I'm looking to create, like, a central hub kind of website where people can, you know and understand me. It'll have like an about me page on there or something. And from that central hub and from these spaces, everything can kind of branch out from there. See, Brent? Yeah, so I'm gonna have like a home base as a website.
And then everything from that home base will be given links and ideas. But it's I think within like 2 to 3 minutes of people meeting me, they're gonna understand who I am and what my mission is and where I'm headed. And if they wanna climb aboard and build this foundation with me, so we can rise to the occasion.
Well, it's also, you have to realize we built our own community with each other. So each one of us have our own story, our own Twitter spaces that each one support. I mean, as you can see, Brent is out. He told me he's detoxing from Twitter. He's been DMing me. And then he came in, he raised his hand, and then I just DM him, like, are you going to ask or say anything? And then he popped back in, and that's why he's like, I'm on my way to see my friend. And, you know, that's the kind of relationship and friendship we have built with each other, and where we can, like, share a triumph and also our sadness and also anything projects we're working on, because, you know, if the community supports each other, that's how we grow. And so if anyone in this space has never done a Twitter Spaces, a lot of us would be happy to help you. I have... And then we got Bryce, especially Ariel, and then Michael. He did a great job. And then I'm looking forward to that, Selena. So John, who is always the promoter of everyone's space, if you were lucky enough. And Rahel, thank you so much for tweeting out about this space. And also my good friend Debbie Ellickson is here, who used to be my co-host. She and I have done some great shows together. And of course, our social audio guy, Chris, who is the founder of the Social Village, he's always shooting up, you know, giving me some stuff. So, you know, and then there's Jason, who's the man who streamed the music for us. I'm hoping that he's gonna... Are you gonna play something for us, Jason? Oh, I gotta bring you up as a speaker.
And before we go, Tanya, I'd like everybody to know that despite my philosophical seriousness, I can also be an entertainer. I tell a lot of
people. You really want me to play right now?
I mess around with a lot of people, and I can do accents.
Do some accents for us, because he's hilarious. I have little snippets. Okay, do some accent.
So anybody got a suggestion, or should I just pick one at random? Trump is a nasally one. It's like, I won bigly, and I will not accept anything from anyone because I have a higher IQ than all of them combined. Nobody in the history of the world has a higher one than Donald John Trump.
That's the Adderall, dude, going right up the nostril.
Right up there. Oh, very nice. And also, like, I can do, like, a very, very eloquent, like, English accents. You see, the English accent comes in different variants and such things. One of them is very, very eloquent, and the other one goes down your business, or, all right, okay, we can do it, right. So even within accent, there are different variants and styles of talking, and I just, you know, I'm fascinated in human behavior, so that's why I really enjoy, like, doing all this. And like for instance, like, a Persian accent is Middle Eastern, but it is a slow, and we talk in a way that's very easy because it's little by little. Arab is a little faster. Hey, Abi, what are you doing? Hey, come to my shop. Hey, bye. You're my friend. Okay, run, very good. So, you know, it's both Middle Eastern, but one's fast, one's slow. So everybody has their quirks, and even like Texas, so we can like it southern like later, Sam, girl. Yeah, I got this a big steer right here that'll take me out to the ranch. Whereas Alabama may sound a little bit something like this, like it's a little more nasally than Texas, where we maybe don't have that like that. Like, so even within accents, I find it fascinating that there are different types of English and Southern and Middle Eastern, and I just enjoy all of it. It's just the kind of, I think that, you know, for us to achieve this kind of like stuff with each other, we need to learn to laugh at each other also, if it's not out of malice and anger, and it's really out of just, we know these are stereotypes, and we can poke fun at them, because when we poke fun of them, it takes away their power.
And we also choose to go to the moon, not because it is easy, but because it is hard. Remember.
Well, hello there.
And Aria is for hire. If you're a host, I think Twitter Spaces should be like your studio audience, your party, right? And so Aria is for hire to be the opener for any one of your events, or anything that you have in mind. Just reach out to me. I'm his indirect publicist. So I'll see how where his schedule is, and we can hook it up for you. But actually, tomorrow is Aria's birthday, so I'm planning to throw a birthday party for him, Twitter Space style.
He's going to be 22.
And don't forget, folks, 22. It's BYOB. Bring your own bottle. But we'll be in Twitter Spaces together.
Let's see. Any more questions before we wrap this all up?
No, just a quick comment. I want to thank Tanya and Bryce for hosting the space for Ariel. And I want to thank Ariel for showing up and sharing everything that he did. I think that the people who heard him speak can see and hear the intelligence coming through him, that he's very knowledgeable, that he knows how to host the space. He's a great, spectacular host, and others are as well, but him in particular. And thank everybody who came today in support of him and participated, either by listening or asking a question or commenting. Thank you all for that. And again, Tanya and Bryce, thank you for having the patience and the time to help my buddy Ariel out.
No, it's my pleasure. I wanted people to get to know Aria and also, you know, share some of his thoughts. So tomorrow I will DM, we're not quite sure when we're going to start the party or not, but I just keep thinking, you know, for Twitter Spaces, this could be a party, it could be an educational class, it could be just a conversation, it could be pretty much, you know, a panel discussion on three different subjects that three different people do not believe in, on the other person, and then you call Ariel in, and then we just have a whole conversation. So that's a, you know, the magic of technology, especially utilizing social audio. I love Twitter Spaces. They have the followers, and my followers have been here for a while, so I'm planning to stick with it. And again, everyone, thank you. Yes, Ariel. Yes.
One last thing before you go, I just wanted to say, look at the beauty of just what's going on here and how we're getting to know and understand and respect one another. It's the irony is that everybody thinks that social media is a contentious, angry place that just gets people, you know, either it's for clout chasers or it's for people who just want to argue and get mad at each other. But look at this. No clout chasing here, no anger here. Everybody kind, respectful, having a good time. And I think it's about time we reclaim social media for ourselves through social audio and make it a place where we truly come together and understand and enjoy and like and, you know, all of these things, so we can reclaim social media for the good instead of the nasty. Thank you.
And so make sure you guys follow everyone on here. If you're listening, if we're not following each other, please follow, especially Ariel. And if you follow the people who are speaking, a lot of them, especially Chris is not speaking, but the social audio guy, even Debbie, everyone hosts their own Twitter Spaces. So once you follow them, when they're hosting a Twitter Space, you'll see it. It's called the Space Bar. So make sure you follow everyone, and I'll be back next week at 5 p.m. So today's chat is called my entertainer chat, hashtag Twitter Spaces, and I will upload it. And go ahead, Jason, play us a tune to close this out. Bye, everybody.
Thanks very much. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.